The EP Podcast, heard everywhere podcasts can be found, and always at theeppodcast.com.
And belly on up to the 9-foot homemade oak bar, pour yourself a cold one. My name is Chris, this is my basement here in Evergreen Park. And we're going to do the EP Podcast, 30 minutes of good in a world of dumb that is brought to you by the First National Bank of Evergreen Park. They are dedicated to supporting this area with great banking tools, friendly service. They are a true community bank that provides our neighborhood with customized financial solutions like Total Access Checking. That is an account with free ATMs nationwide. I don't care what kind of cash machine you use, they're putting the money back in that you get charged by the machine, by the institution. Plus, when you open up a Total Access Checking account today, you get $300 in the account. Open online at bankevergreenpark.com/totalaccess/EP. $100 required to open. Requirements to qualify. Must use link to apply. Member FDIC. This is a Friday release. It's a special weekend edition. I like to do this when I have a conversation with like one person, like a big in-depth thing. If this is not your cup of tea, we have a recent episode of the EP Podcast up right now. Came out on Monday. If you missed it, go back and get it anywhere podcasts can be found and always at theeppodcast.com. And remember to check out other podcasts on my network like Socks in the Basement, where I'm yelling about Tony La Russa because he seems to have lost his mind, and Southside Pod covering the suburbs and the city area around Evergreen Park, going deeper, going and visiting restaurants and bars and breweries and talking to people that are having events. You can check that out as well anywhere podcasts can be found and always at southsidepod.com. But back to the EP Podcast, John Brand has joined me at the 9-foot homemade oak bar this week on the EP Podcast. How are you, buddy?
I'm good, man. Thanks for having me down here.
Well, you know, I had this idea. I was thinking to myself, it's been a while since I just have somebody that sits down here with me and I just bounce stuff off of. You know, I just chit chat, you know, and we hang at your place all the time. And I was like, I like John, and I like drinking with John. And what's fun is that we're not actually drinking open outcry beer tonight. We're both drinking bourbon, or it's a sour mash whiskey, but it's made like a bourbon with just the mash being a sour mash.
Yeah, we changed it up a little bit. Yeah. This is good. Thank you.
So you like, before we get into the show, you like the bourbons? Like, if you're not having a beer, what is it that you go to?
Well, typically, I'm a gin drinker. I typically go to gins, but in the last couple of years with all these new interesting and innovative bourbons that are coming on the market or that have been coming on the market, it's sort of feels like craft beer a little bit, and experimenting with different whiskeys and bourbons has gotten me a little bit more into that genre. And for me, it was a little bit of an acquired taste. And
it's a new hip thing. Like we're going to have two distilleries by the end of the year that are actually craft distilleries in the south suburbs, which is nuts that didn't even exist 3 years ago.
One of them I think you're speaking of is Pollyanna, correct?
Yes, and then Thornton, which is the one that's on the Dixie Highway Brewery trail with
you. And you can get their spirits at our brewery as well.
You can get the Thornton ones?
Well, we do their gin.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we have their gin.
You got to get the pecan whiskey.
I've tried it. If you had that
at Open Outcry, I'd be in there putting it on a rock.
It's good. We tried it. In fact, he's come over to the brewery before, and we've sampled it together.
Yeah,
it's good. It's really good. But we do sell a lot of their gin.
Gin's a big thing now, and I think that, you know, I think part of it is that like Ryan Reynolds brought that Avion gin. Like they were like, hey, would you do an ad for us? And I think the story goes, I just watched him on Netflix. He was on David Letterman's My Next Guest Is. And Letterman asked him about it. He goes, they just wanted me to do like some advertising. And I learned about it. And I was like, can I buy into your company? I have a bunch of money. And they're like, yeah, we'll take a bunch of money. And he became like a part owner. But like what it is, it's the American style of gin where they take out the juniper. There's not as much in there. And it's more of a drinkable, you could put it on the rocks type of gin. And that, I mean, when I talked to the Pollyanna guys on Southside Pod recently, that's the kind that they're putting in their distillery. That's what you have. I would imagine that I think Thornton's almost the same way. So there's an American style gin that's becoming a thing. And I also see people putting gin in bourbon barrels, like people put stouts in bourbon barrels. So now this is becoming, like you said, like the new craft beer craze is now the distilling craze.
I'm not an expert on distilling, but it's my understanding that clearer spirits like vodkas and gins are the first spirits that you put out just because they don't age as long. I think we've been serving the Thornton's gin for close to a year now.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't sampled Pollyanna's. I've heard that they're just ready to release.
They're just getting ready. They haven't put anything out yet.
Okay, no. You were just out there, right?
I was out there. I got to try the bourbon the day it came out of the first barrel.
And how was it?
It was young, but it was good.
Yeah.
I mean, they had their first four barrels that they filled, and as you went along, you realized they were learning as they were going along.
Which
you know, I mean, I would imagine the first time you brewed beer in your garage or basement or kitchen, or you started trying to homebrew,
all
right?
The above.
Right. So when you first started, it wasn't what you wanted it to be. So you kept getting better with every batch because you figured out how to do the measurements and what you did wrong, and you got better at it.
That's true.
And it's the same thing, I think, with that first barrel of bourbon to their fourth one, because they brought out samples from their first four barrels that they made. And you could see a difference between all four of them, even though they were all done within like a week's time.
Is the distillery in Lamont?
Yeah. So they're actually going to be like a block from their actual brewery. They have three breweries, but that's their original brewery is the one in Lamont. And then they're gonna, about a block away right there in downtown Lamont.
Pollyanna does a really nice job. Yeah. Their beers in general are just fantastic. And when we launched back in 2017, we were selling a lot of Pollyanna.
Yeah.
A lot of Pollyanna beer.
So let's go back to that because I'm curious about that. So you had Open Outcry. I remember when it opened. Okay. I remember going in there right at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I remember I was just starting my podcast network at the same time that you were
July, the summer of 17.
I started my network in the summer of 18.
Okay.
So you were still pretty new, and I had just kind of started my network. And I remember I walked in there, and you may have had a couple of things on tap. This is before Will Turner comes along.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he was with you for a long time, and mm-hmm. now you have a new brewer that's mm-hmm. in there. Okay, but you had maybe two beers on tap, and everything was a guest tap. I remember feeling like you were just starting out. What was that like when you first started? Because a lot of people talk about how they want a brewery in Evergreen Park. We just had Kelly Burke on the show, the mayor in here, and she revealed the number one thing when they did the survey of Evergreen Park residents that people wanted in Evergreen Park was a brewery. So I guarantee you there were people that heard that who were like, dude, we should start a brewery. But it takes a while, right? So take me through what that's like at the beginning.
Opening up a brewery is a very capital intensive process, and it's expensive. And when you open up a brewery, unless you're well financed, you're penny pinching, or you're trying to be as efficient with the dollars you spend as much as possible. The number one, when you ask anybody that's opened up a brewery and you said, what would you do differently? Always the number one response you get is, I wish I would have gone a little bit bigger. And that was no different for us. We didn't,
because early on you're investing and you know you're not going to make money right away because you have to make the product before you can sell the product, right? And so, so at the time you're sitting there going, okay, this is what I have and we'll build on later. But you find out, maybe I should have just started as big as humanly possible.
Well, you're doing the calculus, and you're doing the calculus, and you understand how expensive and capital intensive the process is of opening up a brewery, and there's no guarantee that you're going to be successful. So you hedge a little bit, and you could go big, or you can go medium, or you can go small, and there's an incentive to go medium or small because if it doesn't work, you don't want to lose all your money, right?
Right.
So and stainless steel is incredibly expensive. Tanks.
That's the only material you're using, right? You have to use stainless steel because aluminum's a dirty metal and it comes off in things. And like in kitchens, people use different metals for different kinds of dishes. But for you, it's got to be steel.
You're running stainless is all you typically want your beer to touch
right.
in a brewery. And for us, the other challenge was we're on Western Avenue and space is a premium. So we didn't have a lot of square footage to work with. So we opened up with a brew house that we thought was going to allow us to produce or manufacture enough beer for the first couple of years. And then if we were lucky to grow, we would grow. But within the first 2 or 3 weeks, we realized that we undersized that brewery. And it was a challenge for the first year or so to produce enough liquid to sell to keep, you know, our goal is always to have 10, minimum of 10 beers on draft. But because of the size of our brewery and the square footage that we're working with, it just wasn't possible at times when we first opened and there were lines out the door and everyone wanted to try your beer. So if you're opening up a brewery, you always, you know, you think you're going to be a 7-barrel brew house or a 10-barrel brew house. If you open up a brewery, you probably understand what that means. Probably go with the higher end of the projection. However, I will say that craft is slowing down. The growth, the organic growth in craft beer is slowing down.
Was it the pandemic that did it? Because I know that you had a lot of breweries in Chicago that closed. So did that cause it? Or do you think that it's because there's a new hip thing with people are getting into the cocktails and they're getting into the distilleries?
All the above. All the above. The legalization of cannabis. There's tons of macro factors that influence what, like why certain industries grow and or contract. And beer generally for the last decade or so has been contracting because it's competing with spirits and seltzers and cannabis and other type of adult products that people are now trying or experimenting with. And it's a very, very competitive space.
It's similar to like maybe entertainment industry. You used to have like your cable TV and you used to have like the movies.
For sure.
And now you got 15,000 streaming services. Yep. And half of them are trying to go free with a model where you get a commercial every once in a while.
It's fragmented.
It does fragment
and there's things. And there's only so many consumer dollars to go around.
Yeah.
And of course, consumers are fickle, right? Chasing the latest thing or what's the hottest trend is also part of the equation as well. And craft beer is still strong. If you make great beer, you're going to sell that beer. If you have a good product and you market that right and you're providing value to your customers, I don't care, and you're in a competitive space like beer or any other consumer product, if you make a good product and you're delivering value, you will be successful. But you have to make a good product consistently,
right?
And you have to provide great service in selling that. And that is really, really hard to do. It takes a tremendous amount of effort. It takes a tremendous amount of endurance. It takes a very high pain threshold, and not everybody is cut out for that.
So if somebody said, like, they heard what the mayor said, like, I'm going to start a brewery, it's not a simple thing to do. It is kind of becoming a flooded market. It's not impossible, I would imagine, for somebody to go and try it. You would never tell somebody, don't go do it, right?
No, of course not.
It's not as easy as we're going to start making beer. Like, I mean, there's a lot that goes into starting a brewery.
You have to be committed. You have to have a, you know, it's cliche to say you start your own business and you do something you love. But when it comes to something that requires the effort like this, you have to truly love beer. You have to love serving people. You have to be comfortable with failures. You have to be comfortable with negative feedback. Have thick skin. You have to grind, and it's not easy. But it doesn't, just because it is a saturated market let's not use the word saturated. It's a maturing market.
Right.
Craft beer is a maturing market, and the growth has slowed. Doesn't matter if you are good at what you do and you make a great product and you connect with, especially locally, if you connect with your local community and you're delivering value to them, you will be successful. But, you know, ball games with the kids, you know, dinners with the family 5 nights a week, hanging out at grandma's birthday party on the weekend, forget all that. It ain't happening. You have to be committed. You have to be obsessed with what it is you're doing. And it's not just beer. It's any small business, especially in the restaurant industry or the beer industry or some industry where you're serving the public 7 days a week.
Right, unless you're going to have multiple partners. I would imagine that's something you just have to live with.
And that having multiple partners presents its own challenges
as well. It does. Right. It does. I've noticed that now in these years that I've been doing this podcast and meeting people that own, you know, restaurants and bars, the guys that are doing it on their own, like, it's a lot easier for them than when they have the partners. The moment you see, like, oh, there's 3-4 people that own this thing, it looks like it is just a spider web of problems. Building relationships, supporting the community, and service. These are the things that Country Financial stands for. They're more than just an office you may pass by as you drive through Evergreen Park. They're neighbors who lend a helping hand and support the fabric of your community, including charitable organizations, sports, financial education, and civic organizations. And since Country is already your neighbor, they want to get together and chat. Call your local Country Financial representative, Mike Thauer, today at 708-425-1559 to talk about the things that are important to you and how he can help you protect them. You see this thing behind the bar? You got to look over the top here. A buddy of mine sent me a beer making kit. You can see it on the ground there in a box. Oh, so when was the last time that you ever, I'm sure when you, before you started your brewery, you would get these things, right?
I homebrewed for 15 years before we opened up the brewery. And I was brewing for the couple of years leading up to opening Open Outcry. I was brewing in my house at least once a week.
Yeah.
So I've gone through a lot of those.
How drunk are you getting when you're brewing in your own house?
At first when it was a hobby, it was about calling your buddies over and drinking.
Yeah.
The last couple of years leading up to it, and it started to feel like not just because you're ramping up to start a business, but you became passionate about something and you wanted to make the best beer possible. I wasn't drinking on brew days at all. I was focused. I was taking notes. I had my spreadsheets out. I was measuring once, measuring twice, measuring three times. And I noticed that if I had had a couple beers while doing that, I wasn't going to make a beer that I was proud of. So I stopped drinking when I was homebrewing the last 4 or 5 years. But hey, going back to your original question, if somebody wants, Evergreen Park is, I've said this many times on your shows, that this community is an amazing community. They support their local businesses. There is an appetite for alcohol around here. You're on the south side of Chicago.
It seems that way. It seems like people drink here. It's weird, but yes, they do.
I just drove through Circle Park and there must have been 300 people out there playing softball and drinking beers.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure, that's the funny thing. Like, it's like, according to the sign, you can't. Everybody's kind of doing it. It's at all the parks and people walk around and do things. You never see a lot of problems with it. But I mean, it is a thing that people here like to have a good time. Yes. I mean, think about it. You have a podcast for your community and the guy does it at his bar. Like, I mean, if that doesn't tell you what kind of community it is, you don't need to drink to have fun, kids. But this community is kind of into that.
Equally important is you learn when you start any business, you have in Evergreen Park, you have the support of your local government. What Mayor Burke has done or is doing, and the support that she provides small business, or the priority that she's placed on trying to attract business to Evergreen Park. And I know this because I chat with Mayor Burke occasionally. You have the support of her. That goes a long way. If you're going to enter the space, just be prepared to work and provide good products and serve your community consistently. It's a lot of work, but it could be done. You now have within, 10-mile radius, you have how many breweries, right? You have One Allegiance, you have Open Outcry.
They're in Chicago Ridge. You have you have Horse Thief, and you have Blue Island Beer Company, I guess. Those would be the ones that I would say that were in close proximity.
There are, and by the way, right, if you added the four of us up, the amount of barrels that we produce versus the amount of beer that is consumed in Evergreen Park and Beverly, Morgan Park, Mount Greenwood, Oak Lawn, all these neighborhoods around Marionette Park, we are a rounding error for the total beer that's consumed in this area.
There's a lot of beer consumed.
Right. We're rounding errors, right? So there's always, if the beer is good and your service is good, your brand is good, there's always room for more players, but you have to be ready to work your ass off.
That's awesome. It's really interesting to me. You know, we sat down, I wasn't sure what we were going to talk about, but I find it fascinating just based off of what the mayor had talked about when she was on the show last and the fact that people were in the breweries. And I have you sitting here. I was like, well, I got to ask him this question. I got to kind of figure this out. Like, you know, what is it like starting it? And, I think also the fact that we were trying what may be the next craze. Would you ever go into distilling? Would you ever do that?
Probably not.
No?
For one reason, I just don't have a passion for it. I want to do the things that I like doing. I like pizza. I like beer. And that's what I like.
That's like when people say, hey, why don't you do video podcast or do this? And I go, I don't know. I like radio.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a radio head. I loved radio when I was a kid. I loved radio when I was getting older. When I got a chance to do radio, I fell in love with it. I put more effort into my morning radio shows than I put into anything in my entire life, maybe save raising my kids. And to be honest with you, there are times where I would be like, their mother will get them this week. I never did that with radio. Like, it's a passion for me.
So do what you like.
Yeah.
There's plenty of market share. So for us, for example, right, I want to continue to grow our brand and our footprint in beer and in pizza and be in a place where if you got 3 or 4 different bars, restaurants, breweries around here, that we're part of that rotation. There's plenty of discretionary dollars to go around. And when I talk to other restaurant owners or other brewery owners, like that's always been what I've said. There's plenty of dollars to go around.
So you don't feel a competition. You don't feel like I think you've said this to me before, because you know that because I do Southside Pod, I go to other breweries. I always feel like I'm cheating on you when I'm not around them. Like, because we're friends. We become friends over the years.
That's true.
And that's the thing. John and I have really become friends over the years. And when I go and I do something at another brewery and I tell him about it, I'm always like, oh, he's probably so upset I spent Friday night at this other place because I was doing something for the show or whatever. And I'm always like, oh, he's going to be mad at me. I wasn't at Open
Opera. Of course not. That's silly. To expect somebody to come to your business every time they leave the house is just ridiculous, right? I'm not afraid of competition. If you like it, it makes you better. It drives you. You're always looking for ways to improve your business, to make you a desirable bar or restaurant or brewery to visit. As part of the families around here is their rotation for dining out and spending their discretionary dollars.
Well, my family brewery. I will tell you this. If I had to pick, like, when I think about my rotation of restaurants and bars and entertainment dollar, okay, I go in there for a couple different reasons. I'll go in there sometimes because I like your beer, number one, and I'm a member of the Mug Club now, and I like to sit there, especially in the summertime when those garage doors are open and you can feel the breeze coming off the street on Western Avenue, or I can sit upstairs up on the roof, okay? And you've always had like a cool atmosphere in the fall and in the winter. But one of the things that I will do, you're like at the top of the list when I go family place.
Thank
when
you.
I want to bring...
I appreciate that. Thank you.
It's the honest truth. When I want to bring the two teenagers and I want to bring the six-year-old, there's something for all of them. Like my daughter, who has more of a refined taste as to what she wants to eat, and she's like, I don't want to eat pizza. I'm like, fine, they got some really good sandwiches here. And she loves it. And then I can go, and then pizza, we can get like the pizzas, and they're small enough that like the one that likes the hot spicy food that's 14 years old picks out one. He goes, Dad, will you split this one with me with the peppers in it? I'm like, yeah, I'll do that. And then the other one gets something else. And then my wife likes it because she could pick out a beer and she feels like she's out on a Saturday night. Like that's, I think that middle-aged women love to be out. Like they want to be out. They don't want to be sitting in their home on their couch. So it satisfies something for every single person in the family when I go to your place. So you end up being the spot where I'm like, well, I want to take you guys out. Where do you want to go? The kids even will say now, open outcry.
My goal is just to deliver enough value and build up enough trust with customers so that we're part of the rotation. So if your rotation locally is, I'm just going to throw some names out there, because these are the places I go,
right?
Like Rosangela's.
Great pizza place. One of the best pizza places in the entirety of the world.
Exactly.
I love Rosangela's.
Milano's, Baracco's, Horse Thief, Blue Eye. Like as long as we're part of that conversation when a family's walking out the door, like where are we going tonight?
Yeah.
That's good enough for me. Here's what I have found that is is sort of a weird nuanced challenge of operating a bar, restaurant, or brewery in Morgan Park, Beverly, Mount Greenwood, Evergreen Park, is that there is, and I just did a beer fest last week, and I hear this a lot around here. When people say, I don't dine out on Western Avenue, or I'm not going to spend money on Western or on the South Side. I just go downtown, or I go out to Orland, or I go out to Tinley, or I go out to Lamont.
It doesn't make a lot of sense.
I don't understand it. There's so many hardworking restaurant and bar owners on Western Avenue, on 95th Street, and on 111th, and people that are employing, between all of us, the hundreds of people that we employ that are part of this community. When I hear that, it's a little demoralizing. But what makes it up for it, though, is the other segment of the population that goes out of their way to spend money or invest money in their local businesses.
Oh, there's a loyalty. There's a loyalty on the South Side with some people where they won't go anywhere
except
for their
else.
Local businesses.
That's exactly right. And we saw that during the pandemic, right? Where we had customers coming in buying gift cards, not because they wanted to redeem the gift cards, just because they wanted to inject money in the place.
They didn't want you to go away.
They didn't want us to go away.
I remember my wife being very concerned about certain places that were going to go away.
Right.
And when a place went away, because I remember like the place that I enjoyed going into, I always liked going into the Red Palm in Evergreen.
Yeah, great place.
And it closed because of the pandemic. I remember talking with Mike Nix over there when the pandemic hit, and I felt bad for him. And I remember what he was going through there. And Mike's a great guy. But that was this thing that like when that went away, it hurt. You know, and I think that was a thing. There were people that when the pandemic was going on, for all any fears that they had, especially in the early days, it was like these places that I care about are going to go away.
Right.
And I don't want that. I want this to end one day, and I want to go back to the place that I used to go to. I don't want that ripped away while I'm gone. And I feel like there were a lot of people that said that, like, I remember that was a thing. My wife made it a thing. Like, we had a rotation of places we ordered from because she's like, I'm not losing these places.
A lot of people did.
Yeah.
A lot of people did. We were the beneficiary of that. And so was every small business on Western and in the neighborhoods. And the gratitude you have for that is incredible. Believe me, look, I am not, this isn't something I think about or get angry about or worry about, but I hear it enough that we're having this conversation about running a business or opening up a business on the South Side. You will hear this. You will hear that people don't want to spend money in the neighborhood. And I've never completely understood that. Don't spend money. If you think we suck, then tell us why we suck so we can fix it.
Right.
But to blanket statements like, I don't go south of 103rd, or I just don't spend money in the neighborhood. I'd rather go downtown.
Right. Or the thing that really drives you nuts. I don't eat wood fire pizza.
It doesn't bother me.
Come on, it doesn't bother me.
It doesn't bother me.
I've seen that before when somebody throws like a comment in there like, that's not Chicago pizza. That's got to drive you nuts.
No, it doesn't drive me nuts.
See, here's the funny thing. Like,
it doesn't.
To me,
Chris, I'm not making it up. It doesn't drive me nuts. There's so many good tavern style pizza places that have been around for so long that have served this community for so long. I understand old habits. People go with what they're familiar with. Right?
See, but like to me, I always sit there and I say, well, you got to broaden your horizons a little bit more. Like that, I probably would have thought that way when I was like a kid. You know, that it feels like that. But I don't know, after living all over the country, being a Southsider who lived all over the country and came back, there are a few different styles of things that it's not wrong to try.
This is part
of, you know,
of
it's not wrong to try other things.
This is part of that conversation about being an entrepreneur and not letting those sort of things eat you up or influence you too much. Because if you do, you will not last long as an entrepreneur. You have to grow a thick skin quickly, or you have to roll with those sort of things quickly, because there's so many. Look at the demographics. How many people, how many residents are there within a 5 mile radius of, say, West 109th and Western Avenue, right?
Right.
A lot.
Yeah.
Right. Not everybody has to like fire pizza, and that's okay. That's okay. But I would like for you to give us a shot at least once. That'd be cool.
You know what it is? I feel like small business is very similar to when I was in the radio industry. I'll tell you that right now. It's like you were never going to get everybody to like your show. But as long as a certain amount liked it and you were the number one person, then you were the one that was you made more money and you were successful. With this podcast, for example, there's 7,000 households in Evergreen Park. If 3,000 to 3,500 of them check out the EP podcast, I don't worry about the other 3,500 that didn't listen to it.
That's a good business.
Because the thing is that there's a large chunk that are listening to what's going on. And that right there, you'd be hard pressed to find somebody that would get into all 7,000 houses.
And if you are, and if you let that affect you too much, then you shouldn't probably start
a business,
your own business.
Right.
If you can't manage that, by the way, right? I'm not perfect. I mean, there's the stress and the worry and all that stuff that comes along with running a business. Now I got to make payroll every 2 weeks for the 44 people that work for us. And, sometimes it'll get to you a little bit, but you do have to take a step back and say, hey, look, not everyone's got to like me. Not everyone's got to like this brand. Not everyone's got to like craft beer, but there's plenty of other people that do. And you just got to keep grinding and building brand, and one day they'll walk in the place and they'll give it a shot. And if you do a good job, and if you're on your game that day and your servers provide good service and they feel good walking out of the place, then you got a shot at them coming back.
John Brand's Open Outcry is at 10934 Southwestern Avenue. They've got great pizza. They've got good people working there. They are a great environment. They've got an awesome rooftop bar. They've got an incredible setup, and they make really good craft beer. And John takes it personally, trying to make sure that he's providing you with a good experience.
We do the best we can.
Oh,
for sure.
I know you do.
And we're not, and by the way, we're not always successful, right? We have bad nights like everybody else.
Who is? You know why? How many people I've ticked off doing this podcast? The list is long and distinguished.
Because you are a Southside Jagoff for sure.
OpenOutcryBrewing.com. Check them out. Thanks, bud.
Look at all those people in this great suburb driving down 95th and KZ. What a great place It's called Evergreen Park, but we know it better as the EP. We're known for more than just the Unabomber. Remember Ted Kaczynski? You guys might even remember that big old rooster on 95th Street. It's all part of EP's history. So listen up to the EP podcast. You might be asking why. Because we talk about all things and we celebrate all the great things in the 60805. It's the EP podcast. All things Evergreen Park. It's the EP podcast. Evergreen Park.